Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes you have to speak victory. Just
Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is Overseer Sadie Elliott. I am so glad and elated that you stopped by the site this morning. I hope it's something that will be said today that will draw you closer to the Lord today on the topic that we have before you today. But before we start, I will pray. Oh, gracious Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for opening our eyes to see a brand new day that we have never seen before. I thank you for every caller that will come on the air that will share the good news today, that each and every person may hear, dear Heavenly Father, and will be able to get some nuggets out of it that will help them in their Christian walk with you. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. In Jesus' precious and divine will, let whatever I say come from the word of God, not of Satan, dear Heavenly Father, but by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen and thank God. And for those of you that need to call someone, the number to call in is area code 646-716-4389. That number again is area code 646-716-4389. And I say again, welcome to Joy and Peace. Today we are going to talk about famine. And as I was going through the scriptures on famine, I read in Amos 8 and 11. It says, "Behold, the day come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord." Amos 8 and 11. I know you can see around the signs of time, the famine that's going on. But here God is not just talking about the food and the water. He's talking about hearing the word of God. You know, I read a while back an article that caught my eye, and it stated that 25 million people die every day because of starvation, malnutrition, and related disease. You know, living here in this land of America of plenty, far removed from hunger pains, it's hard for us to fathom so many people dying from hunger-related issues. We don't even have to go overseas. We can look right here in our own city, our state, our neighborhood. How many people are going without? How many people don't have not only the food or water, but not a heeding to the word of God? You know, God is just so good. I am so thankful for the good Lord today for this topic. You know, it is especially hard to imagine considering how much food goes to waste. When you think about the restaurant, the hospital, the places that they throw food away, and how many people standing right on the outside ready to go through the trash to be able to get something to eat. Some woman don't make enough money on her job to feed her children, and she's wondering what she's going to do. Some man have lost his job or not bringing in enough money. A famine upon the land. When I read about it, even in the paper, just yesterday, how many schools are closing throughout the land? How many people are unemployed? But nowhere do you read where nobody is putting in the news that you can read where they are seeking God for an answer. You know, I thought about that and I thought about that. I dialogued with that. We have a guest that came on, would like to say something. I'm going to bring them on. I'm trying to get you on, guest. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach.
This is Pastor Stephen Amaker. I was going to leave you alone.
I want you to come on here this morning.
Just go ahead. No. I was going to let you go ahead and minister to us, but when you gave us the scripture and I'm sitting here in the office getting ready to look at the schedule of today and put on a broadcast coming from the fourth chapter of Amos.
Uh-huh.
So when you said the eighth chapter of Amos, my spirit leaped within because I'm like, oh, my God, God, you're saying something to us today. You're really talking to us, and you were just describing how many things is going on in the land. And God says, even out of all of what I'm letting done, you still will not turn to me. You still don't turn to me.
Yeah.
You know, you see, earthquake, which they're talking about, the news is plastered with this earthquake. Never was this in the last, how many, well, they had one which was stronger but didn't do as much damage, and now this one is weaker and does more damage in New Zealand, and they're scratching their head, how in the world can this be? And nobody's turning to God. Like you say, catastrophes all over the land. It's not just here in South Florida. It's all in Texas and Egypt and now Libya and different countries and stuff. And all this stuff is going on. And watch this. It's not so bad that the world won't turn to God. It's worse when the church don't turn to God.
Ah, yeah. Woo, thank you there, Pastor.
That's the bad thing. That's the bad thing. When he said in that fourth chapter, he says, God does nothing unless he first reveals it to his prophets. And then who knows the mind of God, that we are prophesying accurate according to the mind of God and to the word of God, what God is saying. There's no time to prophesy houses and cars now, because the houses and cars are not going to save you. There's no time to be prophesying prosperity and all this women and men and all this other stuff. The flesh, the things of the flesh, the prophetic word for this hour now, and I'm going to quickly stop, but I was listening to a preacher the other day on TV, on national TV. He said, I don't know where the church is right now. And I looked at him, and I'm like, I cannot even believe you say, but then, yeah, if you're not connected to God, you don't know where the church is. If you're not connected to God, you don't know what's going on. You're just like the sinner walking around, don't even know what God is doing, because you're not in the mind and connected to the things of God. So we really, really got to seek what God is saying to us now. What is he saying? Where does he want? What is? Where is he? He's over here. He's like, hey, y'all, I'm trying to get your attention over here. You need to get this right. You need to do this. And you're so busy over there playing on your toys and everything that you can't even hear the Lord is saying, I'm trying to get your attention. At least church get their attention. He said, because if my people, come on, y'all. Y'all are always quoted.
Right.
If my people who are called by name will humble themselves. But the last part of that says that he says that you will hear from heaven. But first you got to turn from your wicked ways. Stop your sinning. You get up and live holy before God. And he said, then when you do that, then I'll heal the land. So 90% of what's going on in the world today, I blame the church.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
I blame the church. It's the church fault. This is the church fault. Because we pray in church, or rather, they're praying in church and not trying to seek God for real.
Yeah,
and God is saying this time, look, I'm going to let everything around you is going to fall and crumble and everything until you stop playing church and get real and right with me. This is what you're going to get. This is how it's going to be.
Ooh, yes. Ooh, I have another. Stay right there, Pastor Amica. Don't go nowhere. I got another guest that's come on. They want to say something to them. Let me see. Can I bring them on? Guess you're now on the air. Welcome to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry.
Hey, this is Cliff. How you doing?
How are you doing, Mr. Minister Cliff?
I am blown away by Brother Amica. Say, how you doing, sir? How you doing?
God bless, sir. God bless.
God bless you. Man, you made some thoughts come to my head. And one of the words that came to my mind was covetousness. You know, there's some folks in the church who claim to be saved. I'll tell a voice to correct the Lord, have mercy. Claim to be saved. The plan church. How do you go to a church that's Bible-based, preaching the word of God, man or woman is speaking truth and power to God and to God's people, but how are they, and I mean us and you and us and them, going to get out here in the world after we got in the huddle with this church and not break formation? When we get, oh my good, when we leave church, God has told us the play is in the huddle with this church. Go out there and do what I told you to do. I know some people for a fact who get in the word of God, get in church, get outside, four walls, into the world, a complete idiot. Okay, wait a minute. Something's wrong with this picture. Case in point. I had a lady come to me personally. She knew I was married. She knew I was a happily, joyfully married man. She met my wife, but had the audacity to tell me, oh, why don't you come visit me in my house at 12 midnight? I looked at her like she was crazy. I said, how are you going to just leave church and have me commit adultery against my wife and God? I was like, Joseph, that ain't happening. I'm taking all my stuff. You know what I'm saying? But it's the lack of. People die for lack of knowledge. People perish for lack of knowledge. They don't know. Or they don't want to know. Playing church. That is a very dangerous and deadly game.
Yes, yes.
In the land. Same in our souls. They're not right.
Yeah. It has to be taught right in the church, because if you're being taught wrong, you're going to go outside the four walls, like you say, and do something that you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Which,
exactly.
You know,
and even though, I'm sorry, go ahead.
You know, God said that he will soon send a particular famine, not a typical famine of food and water, but it's far more destructive ones
exactly.
As you are seeing now. It strikes at the heart of his people, causing the very fiber of your society to unravel. And that's what's happening. People are running to and fro. They don't know which way to go. Just like with 9/11 and when they had it out that year, how you say it, 4KK or 4YK, everybody running, trying to get food off the shelf, water and all that. But that ain't going to save you. He's telling you, hearing, are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you doing what I'm commanding you to do? You're running off trying to get riches. You can't take them riches into heaven with you. What do you have in your spirit? You know, we have to notice that it does not say that it would be a famine of the world, the word of the Lord, but a famine of hearing. People done turn off the hearing of hearing what God is saying.
Come on.
God's words will still be available, but it will be rare that those words will be heard.
The real gospel
will still be, you know, obtainable. His inspiring message will still be accessible. However, as a curse on the land, God will cause truth not to be heard. You know, it's curse coming upon the land. We're seeing it every day because people will not listen to sound doctrine. They will not listen to the word of God. This hearing is far more than just being aware of words or concept. It is a hearing that includes focus, careful attention that's taken to its logical conclusion. And in obedience, you know, this kind of hearing will be in such short supply as one that calls right action. You know, in fact, Hebrew words is often translated as obey. The family calls God's word, you know, our to be heard. God wanna, you know, he's sending his prophets. He's sending his men and women of God to tell you the truth. But are you listening? Or are you just want to hear material things, a home, land, cars, money, all that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have that. But first of all, we need the word of God. We need to know what we do in a situation that come up that money can't take care of, that a car can't take care of, a house can't take care of. What do we do? Huh? You know, and as I was going through that, I guess I'm just getting hyper on this because, you know, people just think about the famine as the food. And so they have food being wasted here in the United States. I'm not even going to another country, just here in America alone. It's my understanding that there is enough food available to feed the whole world if it was distributed to the right places. It's people. Been in countries still haven't received food and aid that America had spent. People are still, you've seen it on the TV, children dying, pregnant mothers going without the right nutrition. But are we hearing what God is saying? Are we listening? Are we running out half cocked? You know, surely our hearts are touched as we behold the vast hunger and suffering of our brothers across the sea. Could we but curb our desire, our whim, and our wishes with our gluttonous and covetousness longing? Surely we could. Then with our saving help, alleviate hunger, destitute souls. How many people we are passing every day? If we feed them, bring them in, feed them, and give them the word. But if they're hungry, they sick, they're not going to hear the word of God, you telling it to them, because all their mindset is on, I'm hungry, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, and someone feed. Feed the natural first and feed the spirit. That way they can receive what you are saying. They can be able to get up and do what God is telling them. But we're passing them on the waysides of life, casting them aside like they're a piece of paper or like they don't mean nothing to us. So we have to really be so careful, just to do what God is telling us to do. You know, and most of those who are struck by this famine will probably not recognize that it is a true calamity. Can y'all hear me? So God is so good you know, and I thought about that as I read the newspaper, as I see things going wrong in my city that could be rectified. I say, you know, it's just so awesome because we need to know the word of God. We need to be giving out the word of God each and every day. And, you know, people wander about in a vain attempt to regain the word of the Lord. Some of the people seem to realize that something is missing. They wander and even run to and fro. And they can't find out what's missing. They're trying everything. But they're not willing to look in the right place, which is pick up the word of God. Pastor Amica, are you still there? Pastor Amica? Well, we give God praise this morning. Because he is truly worthy to be praised.
Yeah.
No, I thought we had got off because I couldn't hear nothing. I didn't know if I had gotten cut off or what.
No, I'm sorry. I had another call on that line.
Oh, okay.
Please give me. But you were saying about the famine that is going on, and you look at Bible bookstore. Bible bookstore is, some Bible bookstore is as big as supermarkets. So it's not the case that it's not religious material being printed.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is like you say, big business here that we're going in, and so it's not that. It's the pure word. The famine is out of all these religious books, out of all this stuff that is being printed in the world today, still people are hungry for the word of God. They're still starving for the word of God. From not just watch this, because what preaching, it goes deeper than just me hearing an emotional message, and that's where it stops at today. A lot of places it just stops at an emotional message and don't go all the way into the spirit. The Bible says the word, it cuts all the way down to a sinner, all the way down to the marrows of the bone. And it's not getting, that word is not getting in there. But the emotionalism is all what you're eating and everything. So watch this. So then it means, like, you cannot live off of hamburgers and french fries every day, all day.
That's right.
As much as you might enjoy them, but you cannot, that should not be your primary diet. And when when you look at children don't know that vegetables is good for them. So they think you're being mean by telling them you need to eat your vegetables, you need to eat your rice, you need to eat your meat, you need to you know, drink more than just soda, you need to drink fruit juice, you need to drink water. They think you're killing them, and you don't mean them no good, but what you know is if you eat this, this will do you good. So
that's right.
When people come to church as children, they don't know. They think they're hearing a word, but really they're hearing an emotional pep talk. They got a new thing they're calling now life coaches.
Uh huh.
Come on now. Come on, man. You're a mess. You ain't no life coach. Get your life in order. And before you tell me how to get my, and you can't get your life in order without the Holy Ghost. So any life coach coming around telling you, oh, well, there's more than one way to be saved. There's more than one way to get into heaven. There's more than one way to live holy. You don't need the Bible, and you just need this book and read my book. And I got 12 steps on how to do this and another 13 steps on why it didn't work and then another 7 word steps on how to start over and try it again. Oh, man, please, you're wasting my time. And you're not feeding what needs to be fed. And that's where the famine is, the word, hearing the word of God. And faith come by hearing, and hearing the word. And so people are falling and failing in the house of God now because they're not hearing the word of God. The full, unadulterated word of God. You start out with the word, so we're going to lace this. We're going to open your Bibles, turn to the scripture, and then you start talking about it. But then when we turn around, you all the way down the street talking about something totally different that got nothing to do with that scripture.
You're so right about that. You so true about that. We see that every week. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. It's week in and week out. Every week you go, and then, oh, he hooped. Oh, we shouted, we danced, but you didn't get no word.
That's right. No word, and your life ain't changed. You come out, went in the same way and came out the same way. It was no change.
There
you
come
go. Out. It should have been some change. You should have been able to feel the change within you from the word of God. Saying, wait a minute, let me turn from what I've been doing, because what I've been doing is wrong. And from the word, I see it in black and white. I opened my Bible and read it myself. I didn't just take the man or the woman, God. I read it for myself. This is what it's saying to me. So it ought to be a change in your life to go to church. You know, it shouldn't be just a shout and a jump and a jick. And when you come out, somebody asks you, well, what did y'all learn today? What? Girl, he sure did preach. Well, I don't know, but girl, he sure did who? And
we shouted. We shouted.
Oh, they shouted. They sang the choir song. I'm happy. But they can't even remember the song the choir song. Can't remember where the text for the preacher come from.
Mm-mm-mm.
So that means they had selected hearing. They heard what they just wanted. When the man of God or the woman of God got up to speak, they turned them off. So you came out the same way. You were supposed to come and leave your burdens at the altar. Leave your cares at the altar. Whatever you're going through, bring it then, leave it with God. Don't pick it up and take it back outside. You hadn't took care of it when you come inside your sanctuary. You need to come in praying and worshiping. And you know, on this here, not to get off the subject, but I was looking last night at the prison, while I was in prison, by the difference, the people didn't know the difference between the praise and the worship. It's a time to praise, time to worship. Usher in the spirit. Go behind the veil. But if you're not being taught that and reading the word, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. And that's just why we feel we're talking about the famine on hearing. We got to hear. Counsel, I said, go in your secret closet, each and every person, and ask God, am I doing this? What I should be doing, Lord? I want to be better. But we got to get it right. We got to, so when we go to the house of the Lord, we're going to get a word from the Lord. But if you reading your Bible and studying and reading other religious things that will help you to understand more, you know when you hear something, you know it, whether it's the truth or it's a lie. You know if somebody should quote in the word of God. A feel-good message, as they say. But the people are not hearing today. That's why they're running rampage with the famine. They don't know which way to go. But God's children that know God, living by the standards of God, God going to provide for them. No matter how many famine hit the land, no matter how many stores close, God will prevail. He will take care of them. But it's going to be them foolish ones out there that say they got it, they know it all, think all their money going to buy this. No, money can't buy that. So, you know, we got to know. Because destruction is and a disaster is coming. It's on its way. It haven't hit like it's hit.
Can I add to that real quick?
Yes, sir.
We can say about there are a lot of cheeky evangelists who have the nerve to say that if you get this certain amount of money, you get blessed. I'm just going to say this in an ignorant way. I don't think blessings cost. I thought blessings were free, given a gift from God. So how are they going to have the audacity to tell me that if I give you $4,000 and get a prayer call that ain't worth more than a handkerchief from Walmart, my blessings come to this? The devil is a liar.
Well, that's because those type of people are trying to come in through another way.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to get it another way rather than God's way.
I always say
God is not going to bless you to be a multimillionaire. God is not. Now, watch this. God is not going to bless you to be a multimillionaire for you to keep living in sin.
All right.
He's not going to do it. He's not going to bless you with multi-millions for you to live in sin. But the devil will. Now, the devil, he'll give it to you. So just to keep you wrong, so that you'll never be saved, and that you and all your friends and everybody will go to hell partying and balling and all kind of stuff. The devil will do that. But you get so many people who don't want to do it God's way, so that's why these people are monopolizing on people, because I know you don't want to do it God's way, so here's a quickie way. Okay, I'm going to take the quickie way.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take the way that we're going to use the Bible and say this is biblical principles. True, it may be, but if you're not living holy, it ain't going to work. Period. Bottom line, it ain't going to work for you. The whole thing, watch this. According to the book of Jeremiah, God says, and I'm paraphrasing, and please don't hold me to tell you exactly where it is right this minute. But in Jeremiah, I read it, and the Lord said, He said, now this is the truth about giving. The Bible says, God says, and I'm paraphrasing, if you don't live holy before me, I don't receive none of your offerings.
Uh-huh.
I won't receive none of your offerings, not one. If you don't live holy before me, God says, I don't care how much money you give, I'm not looking at it, I'm not touching it, I'm not going to bless you. But if you get up and tell them in church, then guess what? You won't make no money. You won't make no money because people say, why should I give if God ain't going to bless me because I know I'm not living holy. But these people come up and say, hey, you know, hey, I got an easy way. I got a way around it, all that. Here's a way around all the red tape and everything. And God, me and God, I got to hook up with God. And God is going against his word on the count of me. You're a liar, too. That's a lie. He says, I don't change. My word don't change. And he has no respect for a person. If he requires holiness for us, then guess what? He requires holiness for everybody else.
That's right. That is so true.
I don't care how much money you give.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care how much money you give. If you ain't living holy, it ain't going to work. God ain't going to bless you. God is not going to bless you. Not God. Now, the devil, he might slip one in there on you right fast, but to be blessed by God, he ain't going to do it. Mm-hmm. He ain't going to do it. He ain't going to give it to you.
You know, as I was listening and reading, you know, God requires us to do both, yet studying truth is vital because it enables us to identify and resist the leavening, to recognize what is false because we are so familiar with what is true. You know, the mind will feed itself on something. And if we pass over the truth for something that may not be altogether wrong, but it's not actually nourishing, over time we will become spiritual weak and unable to resist the
lie.
There
you go. There you go. There you go. Hamburgers and french fries, guess it will fill you up for an hour, for about an hour, 2 hours. It will. And then if you just keep eating hamburgers and french fries, every day, you know, every meal, just to keep you something in your stomach, yeah, it's going to work. But in the long run, in the long run, when your immune system, the system breaks down because it has nothing to build off, now why are you getting sick?
All right.
Because you look at what you've been eating. And so just like you just said, all right, the reason why you're not strong is because what you are, watch this, you are what you eat.
All right.
If you eating wholesome stuff, you'll be a wholesome, vital young man, vital young woman. But if you're always just eating junk food, then you ain't got nothing to fight off germs, you got nothing to fight off viruses, you got nothing to fight off with your immune system, and you just a walking mess. Although your outside, watch this, your outside might look big and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You might look like a big 6'2", 6'3" young man, 225, 250 pounds. You might look, but on the inside.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Come on, y'all.
All right.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't there. It ain't there. It's not there. It just ain't there. It's not going to show. It's not going to be there. I don't care. Watch this. Okay, watch this. Watch this. There's no way you can tell me, what's the brother's name, Brother Cliff?
Yeah, he went out. Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's no way that Brother Cliff can go to the gym every day.
Mm-hmm.
5 days a week for 2 hours a day. And I go once a month.
Ah.
There's no way I can say I'm just as strong as Brother Cliff.
Uh-uh.
Physically sound as Brother Cliff. There's no way. There's no way. Why? Because he's always in the gym working out and stretching his muscles, toning himself. And I go once a month for a half hour, 15 minutes. All I do is just maybe get on the the treadmill and I walk 10 minutes and I get off as I'm going home. I cannot say I'm in the same physical shape as Brother Cliff. There's
That's
no way.
Right. That's right.
No way. And you got people in church. You got people in church the same way. Well, I go to church. I go to church as much as she do. You might go to church more than Overseer Sadie do.
Mm-hmm.
But how much time do you give to that word? How much time are you in fasting and praying and before God and studying your word?
Mm. Yes.
So there's no way you can tell me you're just as strong as she is. You know just as much as she do. There's no way. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you say that, then watch this. You deceive yourself.
All right. All right.
The Bible says you deceive yourself.
Right. Ooh, I mean, yeah. Ooh, I thank God for that. Like you were just saying, that is so true. Because we have to study to ourselves, oh God. We have to stay in the Word. Speaking the word, talking the word, living that word. So when things come upon us, we're aware of it. We can see it. But if you out there in a famine, you don't know which way it's coming. You don't know how it's going to come because you're not prepared. Just like the virgin, the 10 virgins, 5 foolish, 5 wise. You know, you got to be in tune to what God is saying. And you know, as I was reading that, and I was thinking, I say, everybody going to think a famine is just for eating and gluttony. But no, that's for the hearing also, you know. But wait, don't we have to go that far to see or help poor people, starving souls? Right here in this rich country we live in, that's a great spiritual famine. And I mean a spiritual famine. People are starved, not because help is unavailable, but because the things of this world, the cares of riches and the lust for pleasure have choked out their spiritual appetite. Some people have gotten so gung-ho or all the material things that they done choked out the spiritual, where they stop believing in God, in other words. They believe in themselves that they can do this and they can do that and they can't do a thing without God. But when they realize it, it's too late. When they're thinking it's only me, it's Jesus all the way. And we got to realize that. And we have to hear the word to know what the word is saying. We need to read the word for ourselves.
And like you read that scripture, the famine, watch what he said. The famine is, he said, I'm going to send a famine in the land, and it's not going to be of meat and drink.
That's right.
Jesus said, what you put in the body, it goes through the trough. So, you know, that's not it. That's not what defiles a man. It is what spiritual you put in. What comes out of your spirit, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. And so if you're not laced with the word of God, then you're speaking all kind of crazy stuff and proclaiming and talking and saying all kind of detrimental and godless stuff. And we're wondering why, watch this. Why there's no power in the church?
Jesus. Yeah, you've
why,
seen it. No
don't
power.
Let me hit this.
Go ahead.
Let me hit it one time. One time, y'all. How come we got all these prophets and apostles in the church and there's no power?
All right.
Something wrong. Yeah. Whatever Brother Cliff started saying in the beginning. When you shouting and dancing in the church and then you turn about come over to my house later on tonight. Something wrong with that. That young lady, something is wrong that person could go to church, sit through a service, and sit in service in the flesh, thinking about who she gonna lay with next, and has not been convicted one, and the power of God has not moved so that he could deliver her from her feeling that way. Something
that's
wrong.
Right. It's
something
it's
is wrong. Deadly wrong.
That's right. That's why I'm saying they're not hearing what the word of God is saying. They want to do their own thing. Mm. But when destruction hit and the famine come, them the main ones running to and fro. Well, how I'm going to make it? Well, how I'm going to do this? I'm going to do that. If you'd have said that and heard what God was saying, you'd have known the famine was on the way. You would have been prepared for the famine when it hit because you've been listening and doing what God said do. When God was speaking to you, you were doing something else totally different. You played it off like he wasn't here. He wasn't on his way back. You said, oh, we got some time. I've been hearing that since a little girl, a grandmother tell me God is coming back. Oh, well, he got some more time. You don't know when he's coming. That's why we got to be prepared. That's why we got to be in tune, hearing the word, reading the word, doing what the word say.
You know,
as the word of God was neglected and rejected, it began to be replaced. What bit of truth the nation are quick and falling out of favor? Even the worldly, you know, systematic, you know, the Christianity, you know, it's Sunday worshipers, Christmas worshipers, Easter.
Mm-hmm.
Father's Day, Mother's Day, that's when you see them. But now if it ain't the main holidays, all, you know, pagan trinity gods, you know, it's being rejected. It is being rejected not because of its falsehood, but because of the bits of truth within it shall be called people and to account directly or indirectly. Nobody want to be accountable for nothing no more.
Uh-oh.
They want to put it off on somebody else, put it off on somebody else. But God's sitting high and he's looking low. We got to be accountable for sitting there and not doing what the word say. We're going to be accountable for leading somebody down the wrong path. We're going to be accountable for not directing people the way they should go. We're going to be accountable. We, as men and women of God, we have to tell the truth no matter how it hurts. We're the ones supposed to tell the truth where they can learn. They can understand that. They can say, wait a minute. I know they told me that. I'm the one didn't want to believe her. I'm the one didn't do what they say. But I won't do what God says. That means I have to put all my desires, my selfish thoughts, my backwards thinking and every way. I got to put that out of my mind. I got to do what the word of God says. Because I heard the man of God say this. I heard the woman of God say that. But I took it lightly. What the man and woman of God gave it to you.
There you go.
So you do with it. You went out there and threw it away like on the stony ground and just left it. Let it die out. But we got to intact. So when these things that's happening in America now, it's not a surprise. If you study the word of God, if you go not living by bread alone, but by every word of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he's telling us at this hour that we're in.
The old song says, nobody's fault but mine.
There you go.
It's nobody's fault. And when you stand before God, God said, you can't blame nobody but you. Well, the preacher, okay, regardless of what the preacher didn't say, you had a Bible. You could have read it yourself. You knew he wasn't telling you all the way true. Then why did you stay there? Kept going. You got in your car, and you drove to that church when you knew you wasn't getting everything that you were supposed to get. So there's nobody. God said, you can't blame nobody. I'm not going to let you blame nobody. You got to take an account for yourself, the deeds that's done in this mortal body. You got to give an account. God's going to hold all of us accountable for everything that we've done, everything that we do in this body. And even what like you said, after you've heard the truth and you still refuse to do the truth, now you are still accountable.
Yeah.
God said, that don't fly with me. That don't fly with me. That will not fly with me. Well, the preacher didn't. God said that don't fly with me. Said, no, yeah, we can't. You know, I ain't gonna let you blame the preacher because you if you knew, you just say, well, that don't sound. That the other day, the women's meeting last night, and I just sat in and listened. And the young lady said, but how do you get all of that from that scripture? I didn't see all of that. And so they had to take their time and break it down and give her other scriptures.
Yes.
Just don't take what the preacher said. What the preacher said. Did you go and investigate what the preacher said?
Yes,
come on,
ooh,
man. Did you? Wait a minute, sister. Wait a minute, sister. We got, because we got these religious cliches that sound so good in church. God bless the child that got his own. That's not in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
He won't put no more on you than you can bear. Well, you know God won't put no more on you than you can bear. That's not in the Bible. That's not biblical.
All right.
Well, there's nobody perfect. That's not in the Bible. Because the Bible tells us to strive towards perfection. We strive towards, and you're saying stuff that is walking in total opposition to the Word of God.
All right.
And you want God to uphold these cliches. God says, that's not my word.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know.
All right. Keep playing with
it. As you was talking, Pastor Amica, I was just sitting here thinking and reading. You know, when people stop believing in God, they do not believe in nothing.
Yep.
They believe in anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll find something that will fill the belief and they void, and they wander around the wilderness and the land day in and day out and say, you know, I'm trying to, they find out the husband is not a fulfilling, that's the children, the job, the beautiful home. It's, they keep telling you, it's something missing. Well, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you're a child of the King, you Holy Ghost filled. The water baptized, you know, that's Jesus they're missing. They threw him away so long ago, they don't even remember. They'll tell you, well, I was brought up in church, but why did you leave church? Just like you say, Pastor, if you were somewhere and it wasn't teaching you, God was telling you to get up and get out of there, you should get up and get out of there. When you start seeing it's being taught where God said, it's time to move. You don't need a rocket science to tell you that. Some people stay longer than others for various reasons, but if you want the Word of God, you got to get up. You wait a minute. I go to bed thinking about God, singing to God, get up talking to God, wrapping them in my arms, you know, worshiping. Okay, God, what would you want me to do today? Not what I want to do, but what would you have me to do today? I see the things, the signs of the times. I see what the news must say. But I ain't going by what the newscaster say. God, I'm going by what you say today. What is the word for me today from on high? What's the word for today, Lord? Oh.
Jesus said, paraphrasing, Jesus said, you know, when you go outside and you see the clouds gathering, he said, you know it's going to rain. So how come you can't see what time it is now? The news is telling you. The news, like you say, the news, the BIBLE, the newspaper, and the news, the TV, look at what they're saying. Look at what the Bible is saying, and look at what the news is saying. Look at what's going on in the earth. Look at what's going on in across the planet. Look what's going on in our communities. Look what's going on in our churches. Look what's going on in our home. And then you tell me why you don't know what time it is.
Yes, Lord.
Why you can't say what time it is and what's going on in the land.
And it's going on.
It's
Pastor Amica and our other guests we have on, they're just listening today. Because I don't see their hand up, so I just going. You know, the first victim of this famine are the young. They are most because their parents failed to provide a solid foundation of truth. The young only know what the older generation has taught them.
There you go.
When anything remotely Christians being banished from public schools, colleges, and ridiculed in the media, and when churches increasingly neglect the word of God, the youth are being supplied with a very weak or non-existent diet of truth. And as I was reading that on the newspaper yesterday on all these schools closing, and then the media going to say, it's for God to say, not them. Well, yeah, they're not going to graduate. You're going to close 150 schools in one city because you feel so many not going to graduate. It's up to the Lord. You're not giving the children a chance. It's saying the victim of the youth. This is the our generation now, the youth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God created mankind with a spiritual capacity. And our mind naturally craves something to excite us, fill us, give us answers. If God's words are not sustaining the youth of the nation, something else will happen. You know, we have the rap culture have become a religion, a belief system, a way of life for some. The philosophy of materialistic is affirmed and treats in these fertile minds, which are being fed all day, yet starved of truth. I'm not speaking out the. I want nobody to get it wrong. I'm speaking about the rap, but that's the way a lot of children, young people, are listening to the word now. It's through the rap. They're not understanding or grasping what you're telling them, just like we learned it. But when somebody come up with a rap song talking about Jesus in it and what you should be doing and how you should be doing it and reading the word and going, look like they're understanding that more, the new generation. So if it takes that for them to come over on Jesus' side, for them to know the truth and to be able to worship God,
You know, if they knew better, they'd receive better. Let me read, and quickly, I want to read three verses of Scripture. Hosea, the fourth chapter, starting the first verse, says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood." And this is the sixth verse. Everybody requote this scripture. It says, "Well, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge because," watch this, "because they have rejected. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. And there shall no more be priests to me, seeing that thou hast forsaken the law of thy God." And watch what God says. "I will forget your children." In other words, you refuse to tell your children about God, and, well, I can't talk to them. They don't want to hear that, and they don't want me to talk to them. All right, God says, well, okay, you're the parent, and you refuse to tell them about me. He says, when they get in trouble, don't tell me about them. Don't pray. Don't pray to me. Lord, get my child out of. He said, because you wouldn't tell them about me. So then, if you had told them about me, maybe they wouldn't be in the trouble they're in.
All right. Ooh, you know, coming up to our closing, you know, the Bible is available to everyone. Churches are open throughout the country. The table is already prepared for them. Yet many turn away and refuse good, basic spiritual food. The sad truth is that a person cannot be filled with spiritual nutrition unless he fills his need. You know, you can, as they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We can talk all day long on the program and tell men and women, boys and girls, about Jesus. But until they got it in their mind that they know they need a Savior, it's like we just talking to hear ourselves talk. But they have to want what we got and what we trying to get more of. They have to want it. I want to thank each and every one of you all today for coming in on the program and sharing and helping with the famine, because the famine is coming, and it's in quite a few places already. And it will bring destruction. So I want to thank my silent callers that was on today. Thank you, Pastor Amica, for coming on and sharing today.
God bless you.
I think he was driving on his job. I thank him for coming in and sharing this morning. And all those that listen in, those that may have came in on the chat room, I want to say thank you. And those that will listen to the archives later on, I hope it's something that we have said that will enlighten each individual to be able to be closer to the Lord, to be able to know what thus said the Lord, because we know he is a good God. And until next week, we have another exciting topic, and I hope you all can be with us next week. And God be with you, peace be with you and upon you, now and forever. Bye-bye.